You can tell when somebody actually makes a difference in their life is they don't act different, they think different. Because the way a man thinks is the way he's going to be. You know, when you find somebody successful, you find somebody that's accomplished something, you know, you could go up to them and say, "How did you do that?" and try to get them to show you how they did that. But I want you to know, you'll never be able to duplicate what they did that way. If you want to be able to do what someone else has done or accomplish what somebody else has accomplished, what you have to do is you have to learn how they think. Because if you can learn how they think, you can do anything they've done. That's the secret to changing your life and getting your thinking and in your enlightenment to change. And Mom was talking about this one scripture, and it completely changed the enlightenment of my whole thought pattern. I want you to know, it's going to change the way I do things too. And so I was thinking about, told about, I tried to let it go. I'd already written another message for today, but we're going to go on this one because this is life changing for me. Now, I'm about to tell my age, and I'm not ashamed of my age because I have a beautiful young wife, so it don't matter how old I am. But I'm in my 40s. And growing up, though, there was this cartoon that I was hooked on. It was like crack for me when I was from about the age of 8 to about 15. And it was G.I. Joe. I never missed an episode of G.I. Joe. I mean, and not only was I into the G.I. Joe cartoon, I was into the G.I. Joe toys. And I tell you, you walk in my room, everything was G.I. Joe. I had Snake Eyes, I had Cobra Commander, I had all of them. And my world was G.I. Joe. But if you remember growing up and you ever watched that, or if you had kids watch it, this cartoon G.I. Joe always ended at the end of their show with a public service announcement. How many of you guys remember that cartoon? All right. Mike showing his age, you're showing your age. And they would do this public service announcement. And then at the end of that public service announcement, one of the G.I. Joes would stand up and say, "And now you know, and knowing is," does anybody remember? "Half the battle." All you guys must be way younger than me. You must have missed that. Is "now you know, and knowing is half the battle." How would you like it if you just could do one thing and half the battle be taken care of? How would you like it if, you know what I'm saying, I was able to snap my finger today and half the stress load, or half the worry, and half the headache, and half your problems would instantly disappear? I've got a message today that I'm telling you that when you hear it, if you just hear it, half your worries are going to be gone. Half of your stress, half of your anxiety, half of your problems are fixing to leave. And there will be some in here, though, that won't just hear it. You're going to grab hold of it. You're going to put it to work. And I'm telling you, all of your stress load's going to be relieved. All of your headaches are going to be taken care of. And God will have a doorway to change things in your life. I want to go real quick to Genesis chapter 1, verse 14. We'll go through a lot of scriptures here quickly. And, I get told, Brother Donald said this morning, that I'm a fast talker. And George, his wife told me one time, he said, she can understand everybody in this church that preaches but me. Because I talk too fast. And what happens is when I get excited, I talk fast. And I don't mean to, but I'm telling you, I'm excited about this message this morning. So if I get to talking too fast, or if I get to moving through quickly, just say slow down a little bit, all right? And I'll try to pull it down a bit. But this is one of the most exciting revelations I have ever gotten in my life. I'm telling you, just knowing what I know now changes everything. And as I begin to do what I know now, everything's going to end up differently. Genesis chapter 1, verse 14, it says this. "And then God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night. And let them be for signs and seasons and for days and years." The scripture here is pretty amazing, because what God's done, he's just created everything. He's just put his word to work. Now, that's real powerful, because until Genesis 1, we've never seen God's word at work. But the first time we ever see God's word, we see it working. And I want you to know something. God's word is still working today. And if you don't know how to fix it, and you don't know how to make it right, you don't know how to change it, you don't know how to get through it, what you need to do is you need to let God's word work. Because God's word works every time. The very first story you've ever heard, I mean, the first story that was ever introduced to man was God's word works. And not only does God's word work, God's work does good work. Everything he said, the Bible says, he looked at it and saw that it was good. He never used his word to do a bad thing. For a lot of times, we're afraid that if we actually allow God's work to work in us, things are going to end up bad. I want you to know something. God's work never works bad. Like we talked about on Easter. Nonetheless, you will never, the opposite of nevertheless is always the more. God's work is always more in your life than you could even ask, imagine, or think, the Bible says. You have to be convinced of the fact that God's word works. But here in Genesis 1, what he says is, he says that when he was creating everything, right in the middle of all his creations, what he did was he put things into place for you to have signs so that you could know things. This is what the Bible says. It says he put in the heavenlies, in the firmament, he divided the day from the night, and he says he put them there. One translation says put, this one says, he let them be signs. Everybody say signs. Very important. God wants you to have a sign. He don't want you to walk around wondering. He don't want you to walk around blind. God wants to reveal what's going on in your life to you. It's not a guessing game when you're looking at things the way God does them. Although a lot of times we feel lost and we don't know what direction and we don't know what we're here for or how to get there. The Bible says God gave signs. He put things in place for us to have signs so that we can be aware. Why do you put a sign up? So that you can be aware. When you're coming up to a four-way stop, they put this big right red thing there. They put it there not to hassle you or not to just be able to give you tickets. They want you to be aware that you're entering a dangerous intersection here. And what you need to do is stop and look both ways before you go. The sign is there for you to have a warning or for you to be aware or to help you. And the Bible says here that he put things in place so they would be signs. And those signs are connected to seasons. He said, I put it in there so that you can be aware of what season you're in. Now, I don't know what you know about seasons, but the Bible says as long as we're here on earth, there are going to be seasons. There's going to be sowing and there's going to be reaping. The Bible says as long as the sun comes up, there's going to be the law of sowing and reaping exists. And so there are seasons that we live in. Now, that's a very spiritual terminology word. And usually when people say seasons, you know, you think, oh, Lord, this is going to be a rough season. Or when you're going through bad things, you know, it's a hard season. Or when things are really good, you're thinking it's a good season. You need to know there are seasons in life. And God works through seasons. And, you know, if you understand seasons, then you can allow seasons to work for your benefit. If you don't understand seasons, you stay so busy just trying to make ends meet or work things out or that you just feel like at the end of the month, you're a rat on a hamster wheel running. You're in the rat race and you can never make ends meet or never come to a resting point because seasons are an active part of our lives. Just like in a year span, there are seasons in the weather, you know. When we lived down in Florida, there was one season. It was always hot. Living here, there are like three seasons. But up north, they have actually four seasons. You know, there's summer, spring, winter, fall. And seasons have their purpose. Everybody say, every season has its purpose. We may not like all seasons, but you've got to understand, all right? And when with me and Jim, when we lived down in Florida, we lived down in Fort Myers, they don't really have a winter. And because they don't have a winter, we thought it was cool. Until the first year I was there, I stayed sick 9 months out of the first year. And I didn't know why. And I caught strep throat 7 times in 9 months. I was constantly dealing. I didn't know what was going on. I would go to the doctor. They put it in. I finally asked the doctor, what's going on? He said, what's happening is because we don't have seasons like where you're from, some bacterias never die. And so it was instead of, you know, you being here, I'd tell you, how many guys are glad for winter when you're sitting out in your yard this time of year getting eat up by mosquitoes? Can you imagine how many mosquitoes would be in your yard if winter never knocked them out? All right. There are purposes for seasons. And in Florida, because it would never get cold, there were germs and bacteria and things that would never die out. And so what happens is you had to live there long enough for you to build up an immune system over them. And so like I say, the first year I stayed sick the whole time, but then your body builds an immune system and then you get over it. But when you first move to a climate that you're not used to because the seasons are different, you know, it affects you differently. But you understand there's purpose for every season. And the Bible says that God gave us signs so that we can know our seasons. A lot of times people don't know what season they're in. And if you don't know what season you're in, you can miss your season. If you don't know you're in planting season and you just think you're in harvest season during planting season and you keep coming up to your fields of harvest and you find bare, empty rows, you're thinking, God, are you letting me down? God, you're not coming through. And if you don't know your season, what happens is you start building up disbeliefs or you start building up lies against God. Because if you don't know your season, you might be doing the wrong action in the wrong season. And if you're planting in winter, it's the wrong season to plant. You can miss your harvest. You have to know what's in the Bible says here. He gave us signs so that we could know our seasons. You need to know what season you're in. Because if you don't know your seasons, you will miss your season. If you don't know your season, what you're going through will be so heavy and so hard that the enemy will actually start lying to you and say, you know, God always wants it to be like this for you. And so you start believing lies about God, that God wants you to stay broke or God wants you to stay sick. It's the will of God that, you know what I'm saying, my aunt, uncle died that way or, you know what I'm saying, God must have wanted me to have cancer or he would have done something. No, there are different seasons in your life and every season has a purpose. And when you understand your seasons, then you know how to act and respond in those seasons. But the Bible says God gave us signs so that we could know our seasons. And this morning I want to talk about those that maybe don't understand what season you're in. I want to give you an insight into what one season looks like so that if you're in this one, you know how to respond. If you're not in this one, then when it comes in the next season, you can at least know what this season was. Does that make sense? We're going to talk about seasons this morning. Now, we're going to go to Daniel chapter 7, verse 25. And I want to show you how the devil lies to you about your seasons. The Bible says this, and he shall speak great words. Now, this is talking about the spirit of the Antichrist. It says, he shall speak great words against the spirit of the Most High. And he will do it to wear out the saints of the Most High. It says this, and to think to change the times and the laws. Now, what the scripture does is reveals here how the devil works. God says he'll give us signs to see seasons. And the Bible says that the devil's tactic, number one, is he's going to lie to you in your seasons. And if you don't know what seasons you're in, he will speak to you in winter and tell you it's harvest. And so you'll toll, acting like it's harvest, but your fields will be bare. And then you'll begin to think lies of God, thinking, man, God has let me down. God has failed me. God's promises aren't true. He will, if the enemy can make you think that you're in a different season than what you're actually in, you will respond in the wrong way. And that will build disbeliefs and lies and false truths about God. And then what happens is he will wear you out. How many of you guys ever felt wear out? Like I told you before, that where when I grew up, that actually has two meanings. One, exhausted. And two, about once a week I have to wear one of my girls out. And if you understand that statement, you know what I'm talking about. That I have to take them, and I have to take them by the arm, and I have to take my hand, and I have to use my hand to teach them that what has just happened is wrong. That's a wearer. I tell you, there's no better wearer out than my mom. My mom could wear me out. Me and Larry were having this conversation yesterday. We both have girls. And both of our girls had rather daddy whip them than mama's whip them. Me and Larry were talking about that because, you know, it's just hard for me to hit a girl. You know, that's just hard for me. So God gave me two little girls. And so the girls, what we found out the other day, Heather and Larry's little girl was like, hey, dad needs to, so they have to take turns spanking because the way it goes, you don't always want mom to be the bad guy. And the truth is, when you got little girls, it's hard for daddy to be a bad guy. And now I told you, and if I had a little boy, he'd probably have a hard time sitting down all the time. But something about hitting little girls is tough. And if you don't believe in spanking, that's your business. I'm talking about my business right now. All right? And I know that if my mama wouldn't have spanked me, I tell you, that I wouldn't be okay. But that wearing out here, the Bible says that the enemy is spanking. He does it so he can wear us out. I don't know about you, but there's been a lot of times in my life and a lot of seasons that I felt like the devil has worn me out exhaustively and also to a point of physically. I mean, I feel like I've walked away from a many a times in my life beat up. And I don't understand where God was or why God was or what took place. And the truth is, I didn't know the seasons. Because I didn't understand that God reveals His times and His seasons. And He's given us signs so that we could know. And if you're not recognizing your season, the enemy's going to wear you out. He's going to cause you to believe lies. But He does it for this reason, it says. And to think to change the times and the laws. Because if you don't know the one you're in, you're going to miss it. He'll make you think you're in another season when really God is trying to do this purpose in your life. You can miss it. And then the laws there, do you know what that laws means? That is the law of the Old Testament of sowing and reaping. The law of your harvest is what the devil's after. The devil is after what it is you have dreamed about. The devil is after what it is you have worked for, told for, believed for, built faith in, and gone through everything you've gone through. The Bible says the devil is after your harvest. And if he can keep you worn out, and if he can keep you believing wrong things about God, and if he can make you think that you're in a different season than what you're actually in, he will steal your harvest. And we never even know it takes place. We just believe God wanted it that way. I want you to know something. God never wants less for you. He always wants more. And even the times that the enemies come against you, He wanted to use those things to bless you in such an amazing way. Now, I'm going to jump one on you, Joe. Galatians 6:9 says it like this. In the Old Testament, it gave the warning of this thought pattern we're about to share this morning. But in Galatians 6:9, it's the New Testament spin on it. And the New Testament's all about faith. And I love that because in the Old Testament, it was the God of judgment because His word must be kept. In the New Testament, it was. He gave Jesus, paid the price, so it could be kept. And here in the New Testament, it's the same scripture there in Daniel chapter 7, verse 25. It says this, but it's spoken in a faith sense this time. And he said this, let us not grow weary, one version says, but it says, let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due what? Season. It says, we shall reap a harvest. One translation says, it says, we shall reap, but no translation, a harvest, if we faint not. If we faint not. You know what makes people faint? A lack of hope. When you have no hope, you faint. You give up. You give in. You start searching for another way to do it. You go back to what you've always done. You look for an escape or something to make you feel better. You start doing actions and things that maybe you can get, you know what I'm saying, just stop the pain for a moment. You know how many times in my life I've come through seasons and I didn't recognize what we're about to talk about this morning? What would happen is I would find myself fainting. I'd look back at the greatest failures in my life and they were because I gave up. And I gave in because I fainted. I grew weary doing what I was supposed to be doing. I grew weary doing what was right. And the thing about it was the only reason why I grew weary in those processes was because I didn't know what was around the corner. If you believe you're in the wrong season, if you don't recognize, if you don't use the signs that God's given us to know what season you're in, then what will happen is you'll be working and toiling and doing everything you can do. And because you're acting in winter like you would in spring, when the season comes to an end, you faint. You give up, you give out because you think God let you down. When all the time the devil was wearing you out on purpose to make you think it was a different season to change the law that God has promised you can have. It's the tactic of the enemy. Now we're going to go to 2 Kings chapter 13. And we're going to talk about this morning what it is we actually came here to talk about. Starts off like this. It says, then Elijah died and they buried him. We're automatically starting off this story in a tough season. Somebody just died. They just went through a funeral. And this just wasn't anybody. This was the most powerful man of God to ever walk the face of the planet. His successor, Elijah, was a mighty man of God. Called down fire from heaven. This man had done amazing things. Elijah, the Bible says, had double the portion that was on him. One of the greatest men to ever walk this planet, used by God in great ways. Starts off this story with him dying. Talking about a loss of hope. Man that changed all kinds of things in his lifetime. The thing that done mighty works of God now is dead. So where's their hope now? They're going through a dark, hard season anyway. But the truth of the matter is, I want to tell you this. It was God's will for him to die. It was. Because the Bible says it's appointed unto every man to die. That's a season. When you read Ecclesiastes, there's a time to live and a time to die. But see, there were mourners that day probably carrying him brokenhearted and heavy-hearted. Because when you have a loss, that's why we feel, we mourn, we grieve, we hurt. But this story here starts off when these people are already down. All right? It says, Elijah died and they buried him. Then it says, and the raiding bands from Moab. Everybody say Moab. They're very important. We're going to talk a lot about them in the next few minutes. Invaded the land in the spring of the year. Now, I want to go to the NIV, Joe, if you don't mind, of this same scripture. Very important for you to see this. When did they attack? In the spring. Now, in the NIV, it says, Elijah died and was buried. And now the Moabite, that's another name for the same group, they're just using it. Raiders used to enter the country when? Every spring. All right? So the Bible says that there was this enemy that would attack in the spring. And then another thing that opens up the insight that this just was not one attack. This was their nature. This is what they did. This is how they did it. They attacked every spring. The reason why they did it like this, you need to understand, is because spring is a beginning of a season change. The Moabites, or however you want to pronounce their names, I'm going to pronounce it different probably every time I say it. So just bear with you know who we're talking about. It says, they attacked in the spring. Do you know why they attacked in the spring? Why didn't they attack in the winter, fall, summer? The Moabites attacked every spring because spring is always right before harvest. Spring comes right before harvest is here. Now, this enemy knew that. The enemy knew that the time to attack them and when he would get the most from them, when he could steal the most out of their lives, when he could hurt them the most and affect them the longest, he would attack them in the spring. Right before harvest, what the enemy would do is sit back and let them plow the ground in one season, sit back and let them toll the soil and fertilize and do all that. And then he would sit back and he would let them plant the seed. He would sit back and let them watch the harvest begin to grow. And right when them big old giant ears of corn would begin to pick out, just when the leaves began to roll, then he would go, now it's time. And the wabs would run in there and tack them and keep them tied up because he was after their harvest. And they did it over and over again. They attacked them every time. Everything they had worked for and everything they'd been through and all the blisters and all the backaches and all the tolling that they had spent doing things on, the enemy came in right then every time to take it. Now, this is a sign. Bible says in Genesis that God will give you signs of the seasons. How many of you guys here this morning would say, Cricket, man, the enemy has been after me lately like you can't imagine. I mean, every time I blink my eyes, there's something new coming around the corner. It's like every time I turn around, you don't know how tired I am. I mean, if it's not an illness I'm battling, it's that jerk at work. And every time I get there, he's running his mouth. Or if it's not that, it's that crazy woman you're married to. You come home and she, I mean, it's like every time you turn around, every time you get an inch ahead, it's like another bill that you did not expect. I got a ticket the other day in the mail. I say a ticket. I didn't know they did. We were in Dallas the other day driving. I didn't never see nothing. And when we got home, about a week later, I got this envelope in the mail, opened up, said I owed $3.85 for going through a toll, which ain't bad, except because I've moved so much this year, that address has been forwarded to a lot of places. That $3.80 had done got up to $25.00. I'm like, what in the world? If I'd have known that, I'd have just dropped that through. But what it is, in Dallas now, they don't let you pay them. You just drive on them. They mail you this ticket. So I didn't. And so by going off my driver's license, my address has changed a bunch. They mailed that thing to a house five houses up from me where I used to live. Then it went from there. It went to Alabama. Then it went from Alabama to here at the church. And then it went from here at the church to my house now. And by the time I got it, I had so many fines stacked onto that $3.00. I could have went to eat on that money that I had to pay to that thing. Didn't make any sense. But I'm telling you, enemy's after my harvest. And you need to know this. Every time you're about to walk into a harvest season, you need to know there's an enemy going to attack you. This is a sign for you to understand. You need, the Bible says he gives us signs for seasons. So that you will not grow weary and you will not faint. So you will not lose or miss your harvest in due season. If you're under great attack, if you're going through great hell, if the enemy is fighting you in an unnatural way. Now, see, a lot of times super spiritual people think this. They think that, well, every time, everything that costs me money is of the devil. I want you to know something. If you've been driving your car a week, and you started on Monday with the full tank of gas, and by Friday you're out of gas, that ain't the devil. Cars burn gas. That's natural. But I'm talking about supernatural stuff. Because you can tell things are supernatural when they don't make sense in the natural. And if you've been going through something that is supernatural, I mean, like every time you blink, something else is coming after you. Battle after battle, heartache after heartache, struggle after struggle. You need to know this. There's your sign. How many of you guys watch that Bill Ingalls commercial, that comedian that said, there's your sign. All y'all need to repent. He's dirty. He talks bad. I'm playing. No. Dale done told on himself. He talks dirty. That's not. Was it Bill Ingalls that does that? Or is it Jeff Foxworthy? One of them says, there's your sign. Here, I'm here telling somebody this morning, here's your sign. If you've been going through hell, if you've been going through high water, if you are struggling, if you're tired, if you're exhausted, and the enemy's throwing blow after blow at you, you need to know your season is about to change. You are coming out of this one, and you're fixing to go into spring. And when you get into spring, it is harvest season. And for every seed you've planted, you will grow a 100-fold return. turn. So you don't grow weary. You don't grow well doing. You need to keep doing what you're doing. Because sure as the sun comes up, there will always be the law of sowing and reaping. That means this. There will always be. And if you've got a sign right now in your life saying that you're under attack, that means your season's about to change, then you can't stop your harvest if you know it's right here. Now, what you've got to know is this. There are actions you have to take in harvest time. When harvest comes, see, as Christians, it's such a thrown around word so much in churches nowadays that what happens is we hear the word harvest and we get real excited. Do you know the farmer works harder during harvest season than he does any other time of year? During harvest season, you don't get to sleep in. Because if you do, it'll rot on the vine. You have to work usually longer days. But you know what the difference is between planting and sowing and then harvest? Bible says you will enjoy the fruits of your labor. Means in a harvest season, yes, you may have to do things. Yes, there are certain elements you have to take. It's not sitting on the beach and relaxing. That's vacation. What it is you getting up and there being so much joy brought into your life that you don't mind. You can't stay in bed no more. You're waiting for the sun to come up so you can get on your feet and run after what God has called you to do. There is a difference. I'm telling you. In surviving and thriving. I watch all them survival shows and, you know, I used to watch Man versus Wild and I used to watch Survivor Man. And the difference in them two is Survivor Man used to live on a grasshopper for a week and he was just surviving. Man versus Wild, he could take up a stick and throw that thing and kill a rabbit 100 miles away and go and be eating dinner that night at his fire. There was a difference in the two. And I've watched a lot of Christians. I've watched a lot of Christians just survive. And then I've watched a lot of Christians thrive. And the difference between what they did was this. The actions they took when their seasons changed. I want to read a couple of scriptures to you. We've got a few minutes and we've got to get through these. In 2 Kings chapter 13, it said this. It says, Elijah died and was buried. Now the Moabite raiders used to enter the country every spring. The New King James Version said, and they would attack at springtime. There's your sign that you're about to go into a harvest season when the enemy brings on a full-on attack. Now, I've got to let you know, not every harvest is the same. Not every harvest is the same. There are some years that bring better harvest than other years. Stacy's an acorn guy, or an arbiter. I call it acorn because that's a big word. But what he does is they collect seeds and they send seeds all over the world, basically. And he knows this because I used to work for him, that some years there's a better harvest than other years. And the thing about it is, there's a sign for what your year is going to look like or what your harvest is going to hold. And we're going to go to 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and verse 1. It says this. It says, and it happened after this that the people of who? Oh, we're not there yet. Second Chronicles, I'm sorry, Joe. 21. It says, it came to pass after this also that the children of who? Moab. Now, who are the Moabs? You need to know this. Who are the Moabs? They're the group of people that what? Attack every spring. Why do they do it at every spring? Because they're after what? They're after the harvest. Now, like I say, not every harvest is the same because some years produce better than others. The Bible says some yield 30, some yield 100. So how's it go? 60, that's the number I was missing. 30, 60, and 100 fold. Some years, and there is a sign on what year you're in. You need to know this. There's a sign, and it said this. It said, and it came to pass, this was one of those years that was 100-fold years. And you can know it's 100-fold year for this reason. Says, and it came to pass after this also, that the children of Moab, the raiders in the spring. So if they were coming, they were coming at the spring because they attacked. They didn't waste their time coming after people in the winter. There wasn't anything to take. They came after people in the spring. So they were coming at people in the spring. And it says, and the children of Ammon. All right. So here they've got the Moabs coming at them to get their harvest. At the same time, they have another army coming in this direction. Then it says this. With them, others besides the Ammonites. All right, so now they've got this group, they've got this group, and they've got this group coming after them right before their harvest. So there's gathering that they have been toiling, working, doing what they were supposed to be doing all year long. And all of a sudden they stick their head up right when they start seeing that ear of corn get ripe on the vine. And here come them raiders. And you know, the Moabites have been doing this for so long. I'm sure Jehoshaphat, and this would be me, if you've been doing this for years and years, if somebody was coming to fight me every Friday, I would start getting ready to fight them on Friday. After about the third whipping I took, I would be ready before they got there. My bat would be sitting beside me. If that wouldn't work, I'd have a knife in my boot. You know, I mean, I would be ready. And so if the Moabites had been doing it every year, you know Jehoshaphat was ready for them this time. So they knew their harvest was getting ready because they knew it was coming every harvest. But this time, because I'm telling you, because the harvest was going to be so great here, the Moabites came, but the Moabites decided, you know what? We're not going to take a chance of missing this one. We're going to go get our buddies, the Ammons. And while we're coming at them this way, I'm going to have them come at it this way. Because there's no way I'm going to let them get this harvest this time. And if that's not good enough, just to make sure that we defeat them and they don't keep their harvest, we're going to have the Amorites come in this way. Now, how many of you guys have felt surrounded lately? They're coming this way, that way, and another way. You've been surrounded. Everywhere you turn, it's your kids, it's the boss, it's the bills, it's the house, it's the health, it's the relationships, it's everything. Everywhere you turn, it's coming at you. And then how many of you guys got friends with you that say it's coming after you? If you read on down to actually verse 2, it's what it says. It says, they ran it. Go to that. Did you mind? I didn't tell you that, Joe, but pull it up. Y'all need to see this. I don't know why we need to see that. I just feel like when you see it, it says, and then they came. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat. I want you to know something. He already knew. He's got eyes too. He was already on it. He knew the attack was coming. But this is another tactic of the enemy. He'll have people come to you and start trying to make you feel what's going on is even worse. He says, hey, come to him and say, there cometh the great multitude against you. See, at that point, it was just three people. Now it increases really what he was. There was a great multitude after him. And there were people around him stirring him up, letting him get defeated and letting him get discouraged and telling him that, man, you got any sin in your life, man? Because all this is coming around you. Or, man, you must not be living right. Or, man, God allow me. People, the enemy will always stick those people in there that are going to let you know what's going on or what they see in your life, too. It says, a great multitude of them, and beyond the sins, and behold, they be in whatever that word is, which is it. I'm telling you, here's another sign. When other people want to come tell you what's going on in your life and tell you what season it is, and it's bad, there's a sign that what's about to happen in your life, God's about to bring about a harvest that's going to change everything. When you've got it coming one way, those are easy battles to fight. But when it's coming in every way, what you need to know is this. Season's about to change. And you're about to have an opportunity to enjoy the fruits of your labor. You're tired of fighting. You're tired of working. You're tired of... And I got want to let you know something. I understand. Man, it is a battle. It is a battle. I mean, just to keep positive or keep faith or to keep excited or to try to keep hope when they're coming in every direction. And then when you got people around you telling you how bad it is or when they're, you know what I'm saying, telling you all that's going on, you don't need to hear that. You can see it on your, I mean, I got a smart mouth the other day with a member of my family. I'm not going to tell you who, but I'm married to her. And she told me, somebody said, you think I really needed you to tell me that? You didn't think I could see that? And I was frustrated and I was wrong. I'm letting you know that. But as I say, when it was all heavy on me, I didn't need somebody else to tell me it was going on too. And that's what I figure he had going on here, man. Because then what you feel like is you can't even count on those that are closest to you. You know what I'm saying? So it was there. And that's what was going on. And I don't want to just talk about the sign this morning. What I want to talk about is what to do when it's going on. What to do when you see the sign that harvest is just around the corner? What to do when the enemy's coming in this way, that way, and another way, and the battle is so hard? You need to know the reason it's that way, because it's springtime, and springtime brings about the harvest. You need to know that, that what you've been believing God for, what you've been waiting on, what you have been working so hard toward. I mean, I don't know about you, but there's been times where we would save all of our money to be able to go on a vacation, and when it got time to go on vacation, something in the car would break down and take all that money from me. And I'd be like, oh, Lord must not want me to go on that vacation. No. I didn't recognize the Moabs are after me. I didn't realize I was about to move into harvest. And so I would accept a bare field. You've got to get a spirit within you right now that says, you know what? The enemy's coming to try to steal my harvest. And I'm not going to accept this as being a way of life. What I'm going to do is I'm going to change the way I have always acted toward these guys. And I'm going to do it different. Jehoshaphat this year, he probably been fighting the Moabites for years. And there were probably some years where they were successful and probably some years where they weren't. But this year was different because it was a 100-fold year, I believe. And they had them coming in. So the Moabites weren't going to take a chance of missing that harvest that they had going on, because that was a great harvest that God had in store for them. And so he said, I'm going to bring this and this and that, and I'm going to come at them from every side, and I'm going to get them so exhausted and so tired, I'm going to knock the wind out of them so that I get what they deserve. I'm here to tell you, Jehoshaphat realized that this was going on. He saw the sign. And the Bible says he went before the Lord and said, God, what do I do? What do I do? And I believe this chapter is in the Bible to tell us what we're to do right before you receive your harvest. And we're going to read it real quick. Joe, I got to get to my notes to make sure I get on what I'm supposed to be on. What do you do? I'm just tired of fighting. How many of you guys are just tired of fighting? Well, there's good news. Second Chronicles, let's go to verse 15. He said he went before the Lord. And he said, hearken ye, all of Judah, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And thou, king of Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid. You know you're tired, you know you're exhausted, you know you're worn out, when you're constantly living in fear. When you can't get a good night's sleep. When you can't seem to ever get what you're supposed to do in that day done before the day ends. And there's never enough time. There's never enough energy. There's never enough help. There's never, because the battles are so great and the battles are so hard. There's never enough. The Bible says this, thus saith the Lord be unto you. Be not afraid or dismayed. Don't unravel. I believe the only reason why God told Jehoshaphat that was because, guess what he was doing? He was being very afraid and he was unraveling at the seams. I've been there. I've unraveled at so many seams. And what happens is when we unravel at the seams, we lose our harvest. And so what happens is after harvest season has been taken, you got to go a whole nother year to get back to that point again. You know how many times I've been marching around my mountain that we're waiting to get my harvest? It's like it never shows up and never shows up. Because what happens is this. I get into the flesh and I allow stress and anxiety and fear. Because the Bible says fear is a spirit, and I've told you this before, it's a prophetic spirit. And if I allow fear to speak into my life, what it is, I believe what it's saying will be that way, instead of believing what God is saying going to be that way. And when you receive fear and you live in fear, what happens is you let them take your harvest. It says, be not afraid or dismayed, for this, by this great reason of this great multitude. Now, I love that word reason. Reason means things have a purpose. See, the enemy thought this purpose was to get the harvest. Do you know what I believe God thought that purpose was? To let you know you're so close to your harvest, you have no idea. It's springtime and harvest is right around the corner. I believe God's reason is, there's your sign. Why would he let this come against you now? You need to know. Get ready. Your harvest is right around the corner. You need to know that it's not going to be this way forever. It's not going to end like this. It's not. They're not going to have it. That reason is your sign. It says this, of this great multitude, for what? The battle is not yours, but it's God's. You need to understand everything you own is God's. And the Bible said he is the Lord of the what? The harvest. He's the Lord of the harvest. He's the one in control. And see, when you think it's yours, or when you think that you've got to fight this thing, you need to know this. And I'm telling you, my mom spoke the scripture this week to me that says the Moab's always attack in the spring. Man, it lit something inside of me. And what it told me was this: this is not even my battle, because if the enemy comes at certain times of the year, certain seasons, I need to know this. This is just a sign, because God's about to put something in my life that I have been believing for, hoping for, praying for, planning for, working for. And if I do it God's way, I can't stop it, because the battle's His. Now, I can try to go out and fight it on my own. I can go out and try to fix it on my own. You don't know how many times in our relationship I tried to fix things on my own and they only got worse. How many times have you done things on your own and they only got worse? God is saying this: this is my battle. So how, my question is this: how do I let this battle be God's? What do I do? How do I move there? Well, we're going to go on. I'm going to let you know. We got 5 minutes. The battle's not yours. In verse 16, we're going to read a few. It says, tomorrow you go down against them, and behold, they come up by the cliff of Zeh, and you shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness. Now, you need to understand this. The Lord told them where this battle, where you would find the battle. And they were in the, this battle's always fought on a dividing line. If you're under great attack, it's coming in this way, and that way. You're on a dividing line right now. On this side, it's wilderness. On this side, it's harvest. Because what grows around brooks? Where there is no water, there's no life. Where there's living water, it's an oasis. And the Bible said this. It says, you'll find them right at the dividing line. There's your sign. If they're coming at you at your divide, if they're coming at you right now, you need to know you got two directions you can move in right now. You can either go through another year of barren, another year of empty, or you win this battle and you're going to go into an oasis. Your harvest is waiting on you there. Let's go on down, Joe. And you shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourself, stand ye, and see the salvation of the Lord, O Judah. Now, I want to read this one. This is the thing. This is what I've been building up to. How many of you guys want to know what to do when you find yourself on that dividing line? When it's go this way or this way. This way is a year of barren, or this way is a year of harvest. And if they're coming at you in every direction, if they're coming at you in every way, you've got this choice. This is going to be a year of a hundredfold return. If you're under immense attack, if you're under immense battle, you are on the brink of a hundredfold return harvest. So what do you do? Which way do you go? This is what he told me. In the NIV, Joe, would you go to the NIV for me? He gives us three things that we're to do. If we're going to do it, you're going to do it this way. Is that the NIV? No, verse 16. Chapter 20, verse 16 in the NIV. Tomorrow march down against them, and you will be climbing up by the pass, and you will find them at the gate. All right, go to the next scripture. 17. And you'll not fight this battle. The Lord says, do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Go out and face it. Okay, there it is. It says, here's the three things. You will not have to fight this battle. Number one, it says, take your position. Do you see that? Take your position. I want you to know, we lose 90% of our battles right here because we don't take our position. God said, I will fight the battle for you, but I want you to know, you need to show up. I'm going to do this, but if you're not there, I'm not going to do it for you. I want you to know something. Where you're at, your presence and you being a part and you being there will determine the victory and the harvest you will reap. What I mean by that is this. He said, take your position. You must be present. In our families, I want to go through a few things real quick on what positions you need to take. Some of you are really in a wilderness in your walk with the Lord. Man, it's like everything you can do to try to get a drink of water from God is like God's just leaving you thirsty. It's like everything you try to do and move that you can't get. I want you to know, you have a position you must take in your walk with the Lord. It's the same position every man or woman in here must take too. It was the same reason you were created and put here. The Bible says when God created Adam and Eve, He would come and walk with them every day. And that was normal. That was right. And while they did that, they met with the Lord every day. Every one of their needs were met. It was not till the first day God showed up to meet their needs that they were not there, did God realize there was something going on wrong. They were hiding, the Bible says, and God showed up and says, "Where are you at? Where are you?" Do you know that's the first question God ever asked a man? Let me ask you this. Are you in the middle of a changing over from a harvest season, and in your spiritual walk, God is showing up saying, "Where are you at? Man, we used to meet right here every day. And today I brought all this for you, but you're not even here." So you can completely miss your harvest by not being in the right position in your walk with the Lord. Any day you go without being in the presence of God, you're missing what God has in store for you. You can miss your harvest with your walk with the Lord, but just not being present. All right? In your family. You be present. Your position in your family. Why is the enemy coming after you, after your family, in every which way and another? Because the enemy's trying to get you out of your position. For every man in here, the Bible says that you're to be the head of your house. You know what that means? That means, that don't mean you're the dictator. That don't mean you're the boss. That means you're supposed to set the pace. You're supposed to lead the way. You're supposed to be the one running harder after the things that you're supposed to be running after than anyone else. And for every man in here, in your family, that is not taking their position as the head of the household, in other words, the front runner, every one of you are taking an opportunity or taking a chance of you missing the harvest that God has in store for your family. Women, you're a helpmate. For every woman not taking the position of a helpmate, you've chosen the position of a nag. You've chosen the position of a harper. You've chosen the position of a griper or a complainer or the critical boss of the house. Every one of you that has done that, you have missed your harvest this season. Because if you're not in position, if you're not helping mate, if you're not being there being the greatest support, if you're not being there being the love giver, the carer, the one that shows you what Jesus, I mean, if you're not being a help, you're being a hurt. And you will miss the harvest in your family. Some of us on our jobs are not taking our position. We go to work every day, and the only reason why we go to work every day is because there's going to be a check on Friday. But every opportunity we get to get out of work, we take it. You're not taking your position. God may have been wanting to promote you to that point you've been wanting to go to for a long time. But your attendance don't show to your boss that you really want it. Telling you, you be the hardest worker on that job. You be there every single day. The minute a promotion opens, guess where your boss is going to put you? I'm saying, when you're not in your position, it hurts your harvest. All right? In your ministry, let me just say that in your ministry, you take your position. There's a lot of you called into ministry. A lot of you that know that God wants to use you in immense ways. I want you to know something. Every time your seat, if you're in the plant, if God planted you in this church, I want to tell you this. Every time your seat is empty in here, God knows it. The Bible says King Saul was sitting at the king's table. While he was sitting at the king's table, they were about to sit down and eat a kingly meal. And he looked up, and the Bible says this, says he saw an empty seat. And he said, "Where is David? Because he's supposed to be sitting in that seat." If you're called to ministry, you can't afford to miss. Because you have no idea when the anointing is about to hit you. And when the anointing hits you, can't no man stop you. And so anytime there's an opportunity for the anointing to be on your life and you're not present, you're missing an opportunity of your harvest. All right? In your church here. When you're not a part of your church. See, some of you, everyone in here, the Bible says we are the body of Christ. Every one of us are a member. It means we all have functioning. But if I had a paralyzed finger, I'd be going to the doctor trying to figure out what's wrong with my finger because it's not doing what it's supposed to be doing. in here, in this church, and in your life, you are called, whether you've got a ministry calling on you or not, you still have a body calling on you. And every one of you that are not in your position, and you know what your position is because God's been laying it on your heart. If you're not greeting at the door or working in the kids or working in the altars, or if you're not ushering or you're not doing something, you're making a chance of missing out. You're out of position. And it's not going to work for you, and you're not going to get through this season with everything that God has for you until you get into your position. Because the first thing God told them was, get in position. And if you're not there, you're going to miss it. And lastly, your Christian life. Your Christian life is different than your personal life because Christians were given the Great Commission. God wants to know you personally, but your Christian life means you carry responsibility. I'm an Abel's. I carry responsibilities that Abel's have to carry. I represent my dad and his dad. And all, just by me being called an Abel, might be in my name, I represent my aunt. And the truth is, I can make you think bad about my whole family by the way I act. And if I'm a Christian, then what it is, my position is this. I need to be acting, living, walking, and talking in a way that other people want to be Christians too. And God has positioned me into places that I am specifically supposed to affect. I ain't got time to go to the scripture, but I'll tell you. The Bible says Joseph, when his brothers came to him and they said, hey, father, the brothers came to him and said, hey, can we have some food? He recognized them, but they did not recognize him. I'll tell you what, they may not recognize you as being the one that God's going to use to change their life, but the people you're working with and the people you shop with, you can recognize that you can be the one to help change their life. And the Bible says this, when they found out who he was, they said, we're so sorry. He said, no, don't be sorry. He said this, he says, because what the devil meant for good, you can read it. It says this, what the devil meant for good, God will use for good. And then it says this, he said, God positioned me here. God did it. The reason why you got the job you got is because God gave it to you. The reason why you live in this city is because God put you here. The reason why you're in the church is because God, you think you got something to do with it, honey. I'm telling you, you don't. God is in control of your life. And now the only thing God's not in control of, he's not in control of what position you choose to take. You can take his position or their position. Let me show you in the Bible where it says this. The Bible says that Peter was doing it his own way. Bible says he was a professional fisherman. He went fishing in a boat. And while he was fishing in the boat, he knew what he was doing. He was using the right bait. He was at the right location. He knew there were fish there. And he fished, the Bible says, all night long, his way. His way, doing it on the side of the boat that he wanted to. And you got to understand this. The location didn't change. You need to know this. The church didn't change. Usually what happens is we get into a church, and when we don't start reaping a harvest, when we go through a season, we think, oh, that church just ain't feeding me. No, the same boat, the same lake, the same day, the same time. All that what made the difference in the harvest was this. Jesus said, hey, Peter, quit doing it your way. And do it my way. Change positions and get on the other side of the boat. He dropped the same exact net and pulled up a harvest that he could not even contain. It was ripping his nets apart. Let me say it to the sports fans in here. Play your position. Quit trying to be something you're not. I'm telling you, just because God is blessing somebody doing that, that ain't what you got to do. You are a unique individual. God created you with your own purpose. And you can't be, I learned a long time ago, I can't be my dad. I am nothing like him. He likes people. He really does. He's nice. And he's smart. And the truth about it, I am opposite of dad. Now, what I've learned to do is I've learned to love people because I've had people love me. And when I found out what happened, when people started loving me, I realized, you know what? If they can love me, I can love people too. And so that's what me and Dad, but Dad actually likes people. I can't be him. For years, I tried to be him. Tried to walk like him, talk like him. If you came to my house this weekend, I had a beard. And they were like, you trying to grow a beard? Somebody said, you trying to be like your daddy? I had to tell them all, no, I wasn't growing a beard to be like Dad. Is what it is. I shave on Wednesday night. And I shave on Saturday night. And since we didn't have church last Wednesday night, I didn't have to shave. And so by Sunday, I'd done grown me a scruffy. I didn't have to shave. But it wasn't me trying to be like him. Some of us try to dress like, act like, talk like. Play your position. God's got such a call on your life. You need to be you. And can't nobody else be you. And if you want to be the very best in this life, just be you. Because nobody else can do it as good as you. Quit playing other people's positions. Play yours. All right. So number one, we'll finish this quickly. Number one is take position. Some of us are completely missing our harvest simply because we're not present at our position. Men, stand up and be men. Women, be women. Fathers, be fathers. Dads, be dads. Husband, be husband. Wives, be wives. Be Christians, be Christians. Ministers, be ministers. I'm telling you, take your position. Because if you don't, the battle you're in right now may be the very battle that steals your harvest. Had they not have shown up that morning and took their position, God could have never fought the battle for them. Number two, we'll say this real quickly. Number two, stand still. Man, that's so hard. For people like me that actually think there's any good in these hands, that think that, you know, you're the one holding it together, or you're the one making it work, or you're the one that's done all that. I got to let you know something. I didn't build this church. And we found out last year, this church can live without me because it ain't my church. I found out a lot of things. I can build a house, but I'll labor in vain. And the thing about it is usually what happens with me is when I get in an intense battle, I start fighting everybody and everything I can. Tell you, you want to get a blow thrown at you, catch me on a day where I'm in great intent because I'm just swinging at everything that comes at me. And Jennifer will tell you that. I think I have the ability to change things and make things and do things. I want to let you know something. If you get on your mind that you can fix this thing, you can't. What you're going to have to do is you're going to have to move to a point. You have to just simply do this for get in your position. And then understand that God is God. David said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging for bread. In other words, those that are letting God do the battle, they're the ones winning. But those that are fighting on their own, you're going to find yourself on the loser side a bunch of times. The Bible says this, and Isaiah says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings as eagles. They shall run and not grow weary. They shall walk and not faint. Now, in Genesis and Galatians 9, it said this. It says, don't grow weary in well-doing, for in due season you will reap your harvest if you do not faint. So how do you not faint? You get in your position and you trust God. You say, well, Cricket, what does trust God look like? Do what God's telling you to do the way He tells you to do it. Get in position. See, there's some people in this church that have different ministry calls on them. There's some people in this church that have the call of service on them. There's some that call the call again. Some that are called pastor. There's some that are called to give. And I want you to know that if you don't get in your position and believe God that He's put that on you, then what happens is you miss your harvest. And you can't give because you're not in the place where you're able to receive. But if you get in your position and you start doing what you know, I can tell you that every single person in here right now, right this minute, has at least three things going on in their life that they know God has told them to do that they're not doing. And you're saying, but God, why are they coming after me from the left and to the right? Because you're not in your position. And so what happens is we try to do it. All this great sensational stuff. All right, well, God, I'll go to prayer meeting every week for 2 weeks. You know, I'll do a thing about it is this. God don't want you to do the sensational. He wants you to do the obedient. The things that He's already asked you to do, that's what you need to start doing. Because, see, if somebody pays me to come mow their yard, but I show up at their house and I paint it and I clean the windows and I go inside and clean everything, I make their bed and fold their clothes, and they get there and their grass has not been mowed, and they say, hey, I'm ready for my payment. And they say, why? I say, well, I did all this. It don't matter what you did. I paid you to mow my grass. And obedience is better than sacrifice. Every single person in here right now, I'm telling you, has at least three things you know God's been telling you. And until you take your position and start doing those things that God has already told you to do, it don't matter what else you do. You need to do those things. You need to start right there. And when you start right there, you're positioning yourself to do something that God can release His harvest into. We're going to close with this. The last thing he said was, and see the salvation of the Lord. What is that? See, I told you the Old Testament was judgment stuff.
The New Testament's all written through the eyes of faith. When you see seeing in the New Testament, it's always connected to faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So what if I can't see God doing it right now? Well, faith is never seen. I don't see God changing my wife. I don't see God saving my children. I don't see God healing me from this disease. I don't see God meeting these bills. I don't see, get in position, start trusting God, and then move into an area of faith. Now, this is what a lot of people don't understand. How do I move into an area of faith? What you got to do is this. Do what these guys here did. The Bible said this. We're close. Oh, we're 15 minutes over. Got it. All right, we'll close it. The Bible says in verse 22 that they moved into faith when they began to do this. It says this. Now when they began to sing and to praise the Lord, set ambushes against the people of Ammon, Moab, and had come against Judah, and they were defeated. Faith has a sound to it. Bring up that picture, Joe. In Beaufort, North Carolina, there's a military base there, an Air Force base, and they got this sign on the outside of it. It says this, United States Marine Corps. They're in Beaufort, South Carolina. And if you can't read it, it says this. It says, pardon the noise. This is the noise you hear is the sound of freedom. So if you live anywhere around there, you hear this whoosh, whoosh going by. They're saying, hey, just pardon the noise. Because what you're hearing is the sound of freedom. I want to let you know something. Faith has a sound to it. And until you really, you don't got faith until you can start putting sound to a faith. I'm here to tell you this. It did not happen. God did not fight their battle. Their enemies were not defeated. Their harvest was not secured. The Bible says until they began to sing. Some of you have simply been missing your harvest because you've been too afraid to sing. You don't understand. I don't feel like a cricket. What you don't understand, it don't matter what you feel. You are in springtime, and the enemy knows if I can keep them tired, if I can keep them. The Bible says praise is a sacrifice. What a sacrifice is I do it whether I feel like it or not. I do it whether I want to or not, because I know this. When I begin to praise, when I begin to open my mouth, when I begin to let faith have a sound to it, what happens is walls begin to fall. Do you realize that the walls did not fall down till they let out a shout? Do you understand that if you're talking about how bad things are and you're telling everybody about how bad things are, you're calling, asking help to get your problems solved, you are not sounding like faith. Faith sounds like this. God, I praise you. I know the enemy's after me, but your word says you will fight my battle for me. So what we're going to do is I'm going to give somebody in here that's in the middle of their mess. You're in the middle of your mess right now. They're coming this way, that way, other. You're just making the decision. I'm going to get in my position. I'm going to do what God's called me to do. And I'm going to begin to move into a life of faith. And what I'm going to do is this. I'm going to allow my faith to have a sound to it. Because you got to understand, the Bible says the minute they heard it, the ambush was set. When you read on down, the Bible says they all began to kill. The ambush was set and they began to die and destroy. And then it said this. It says they went and they spent the rest of that chapter gathering up the harvest from the enemy, and they still had theirs in the field. Do you understand what that's called? That's called the spoil of your battle. You will never go through anything that God will let you just keep what you got. He's got more abundantly above all you could ever think, heard of. Your expectations for what you think you should get out of this are nothing compared to what God has in store for you. He will give you more than the Bible says you can even imagine.